Kevin Shortell here. It is Wednesday, August 24th. Thank you for being on the webinar. Good to be here with you all. We've got a couple of things we want to cover this evening. We're going to talk about some of the latest sales. I always like to keep you all up on the looks like my camera's not working right, so I'm just going to close that down. You won't get to see me tonight. We're going to talk about the non-performing loans and the sales, inventory levels, that sort of thing. And I've got a couple other loose ends that I want to go over with you that we've talked about on previous calls to catch up on that. And then we're going to turn it over to open mic this evening. So if you have questions, you can start typing those in. For those of you who are new to this format, if you have any kind of questions on Wednesday, anything in and around the non-performing note world, we can talk about on this webinar. And to ask your question, you can do it a couple of different ways. You can type it in on the right-hand side there on your GoToWebinar control panel. You should have a little gray bar that goes across. It says questions, and there's a little triangle arrow kind of thing there. Click on that if it's not already open, and you'll see a spot on there that says type your question here. And when you do that, it shows up on my screen as well as Sarah's screen. We've got Sarah helping us out run the boards tonight.
Hello. Also,
there you are. And also, if you do have the ability to talk on the call, you can do that as well. And to talk on the call, you can either call in on the phone number that you saw when you logged in there, or you can simply talk through the microphone on your computer if it is so equipped. And to let us know that you've got something to say or you want to talk, just raise your hand, and you do that electronically. You should see a little hand symbol on your GoToWebinar control panel. Click on that, and it'll show up on both of our computers as well. So welcome once again. Okay, so let's go first of all to these trends here. I do like to keep up with all of this, and it does affect us, because all of these sales that you'll see, eventually a portion of these trickle down to the level that we can buy them as individuals, and also we can buy them at the Colonial Capital Funds levels as well. So it is an indicator of what's happening in the industry, of how much they're going to sell. Do they turn the faucet on full? Do they cut it back a little bit? And the sales this year have been kind of interesting. They've been bigger sales than some previous years as far as UPB goes. And they've been pretty frequent as well. So the couple of slides that we have here for you, just to catch up, you may have seen this one in the class, because I like to go back historically again to give you that kind of reference. And that is when it comes to single-family homes that are at least 90-day delinquent, which they also refer to in the industry as seriously delinquent. As of the end of 2014, there was $147 billion in total between the Fannie Mae books and the FDIC-insured banks. That was at the end of 2014. At the end of 2015, they had sold $13 billion. So once again, we have a long way to go in this industry. So what's happened since then? Well, in 2016, the first sale was right out of the starting gate in January, when Fannie Mae had a sale, and it was their largest sale to date. That was $1.35 billion. After that, I think Freddie Mac jumped into the next one. Yeah, Freddie Mac got into the sale also in January in a big way, $1.6 billion. So they started real quick out of the gate liquidating these assets. And again, I say this all the time in class, but it's important to hear some things a couple of times. The genie is out of the bottle again. It's just so much more efficient for Fannie and Freddie and the banks that service their loans to sell the non-performing loans than it is to foreclose on the properties. And you can see that trend has continued through the beginning of the year. So the month after that, I don't think there were any sales, and then we got into one towards May. So they did January, both of them, and then February, March, again, probably processing those same sales. But in May, Freddie Mac also put together another $783 million. And you'll notice in that article they talk about different pools, and their standard pools and extended timeline pools. What they're trying to do, and by the way, it's not working out that well, but what they're trying to do is to incorporate more nonprofit companies into this, because part of the flavor has been, gee, that, you know, these same people who had a big part of the collapse of the mortgage industry are the same people now that are buying these non-performing notes again. And so there's kind of a public distaste of that, and Congress has tried to step in and make some rulings on this. And that's what they've done, and they're trying to include more nonprofits and everything else. Now, these nonprofits do have to have a lot of capital, and there's really only a couple of them. There's one in New Jersey and one based out of South Florida that have enough capital to participate in some of these sales. But what's interesting is the concept behind the government's wish of having more nonprofits being able to bid on these assets was that nonprofits are going to do a better job of trying to work with the people. So that was kind of the good feeling thought behind all of this. And the numbers have not worked out that way at all, by the way. They've been just about the same numbers that any investor is. So what I'm saying is the thought of bringing in a nonprofit would be the nonprofit's going to work with the people harder to come up with some resolution that isn't foreclosure, right? So anything other than foreclosure. And it just hasn't worked out, because just like them, even though they're nonprofit, they do have to get some things done to solve these problems and vacant houses, and sometimes it just can't work out. So the nonprofit aspect is not really working out that well, and they're just starting. There was an article, I have it saved in my computer somewhere, but there was an article last month I read, and they were starting to look a little further into these nonprofits, because once again, unfortunately, what happens is the nonprofit doesn't make a profit, if you will, but boy, the executives get paid a heck of a lot of money. And that's again what they're starting to see with some of these nonprofits that were meant to help people to a higher level. They're not doing that because it's just not realistic. And number two, the executives are getting paid a lot of money. So I expect that to kind of fizzle out a little bit, or kind of stay as a status quo. But that's where the different pools come into play here. So this was a smaller sale. All right, after that sale we had in June, this was another non-performing sale through Fannie Mae. And once again, just to refresh everybody's memory, these are sold in pools, and you've got to be a big, big, big player to buy these big pools. And when you buy a pool, part of that pool you do not want. You're simply buying that pool because there are some assets within it that you want to acquire. Some of those you're going to keep, the rest you're going to carve off and sell, and that's usually the lower price band, and that's where a lot of this inventory that ends up in front of us comes from. So again, you can see that they, on this one, again, trying to target community impact funds. So some of these pools you're going to start to notice more inventory down the road here coming from certain areas, and that's going to be a result of these pools that are targeted in certain communities. This one had, for example, 90 loans in the Miami, Florida area. So again, that's where those are coming from. Okay, this is your latest one here. This is the seventh non-performing sale here for Fannie Mae overall. And this is going to be four large pools, about 7,000 loans. And there is still going to be some kind of community impact, another Miami, Florida one with 120 in there. So just over 7,000 loans in total, $1.1 billion just announced, and the sale will be underway. So we got plenty of inventory coming. We've got also, there's some HUD sales that I haven't included on these slides. And I don't know why, but HUD's data is being difficult to find right now, but they've got a couple of different sales that they are working on right now, which will also be in the billion-dollar range, but I'm not even including those in these numbers. So we're seeing a pretty steady of billion-dollar sales, not every month, but about every two or three months by both of these big secondary loan originators. So good news again for us is they are releasing this. I think they're throttling this the right way. Yes, the sales have increased as far as the UPB goes and the number of loans obviously that have been sold, but I don't see where they're going to get to the point where they overheat the market and really dump things, because obviously that would affect prices and everything else. So we should have a nice steady flow of these assets being sold in the open marketplace. And again, because of that, I don't think we'll see that much of a fluctuation in the prices. But again, it's something that we always kind of monitor. All right. Was that all I had on that, or did I have one additional slide on
that? Nope, that was it.
Okay. I added one on my own slides here, so let me just talk about that one.
Okay.
I added it after I sent it to you, Sarah. But
okay.
There's another article that just came out, and one of the publications that I look at is called Black Knight Financial Services. And Black Knight monitors all of this information. They put out quarterly reports, which are very lengthy, very detailed type reports. And in addition to tracking this data, they look at a lot of other information as well. Big financial services company. And the article that's in front of me, I know it's not in front of you all right now, came out June 6th. And the headline says Black Knight's April Mortgage Monitor. So if you want to look up this report yourself, it's Black Knight with a K. April Mortgage Monitor, and the cash, what they're saying is cash transactions accounted for over 60% of low-priced home sales. So it's another thing that they monitor. So in reading the article, it says cash sales make up 62% of purchases in the lowest 20% of the market value. So it's, again, it's interesting to see this, because when we think in terms of why is that important to us in the note business, it is becoming important to us as we start to look at our exit strategies, selling properties as is, selling properties as a turnkey flip. Are there still cash buyers that are in that marketplace? They're not in the middle of the marketplace, I can tell you that. That's at about 35% cash sales have declined in the overall marketplace. But interestingly enough, it's on that 20% on the lower end, which is the price band that we're in, but also 30% of the purchases in the top 20% of the market value. So you're seeing cash buyers in the low end, and you're seeing them in the high end. The high end has a tendency to be more, I'm sure, reflective upon people buying homes in the high end, but there definitely is a play in non-performing notes in that space, and properties that are in foreclosure in that space, and also cash sales, I should say, on the properties, 62% in the lowest 20%. So when we're thinking in terms of exit strategy and thinking in terms of are there enough cash buyers out there still interested in buying real property, yes, because 62% of the purchases in the lower 20% of market value are still going to cash buyers. And that's always a good indicator that those are not cash buyers to live there, they're investors in that lower 20%. So that's why companies like LeadFlow we're working with that mine that data to find those cash buyers can become very, very important to us. So that's still very, very strong. So in recap, overall, cash sales have declined from 37% to 35%, but a very, very, very strong 62% of purchases in the lower 20% of market value. All right. So there you go on that. And again, you saw the sources that I utilize on all of those. Worth a read. All of those websites that I go to and visit, they're all free, and they're all worth taking a look at in this business. Okay.
Right.
Let's see. Ah, yes. This was another one that we had, I don't know if it was last Wednesday or the Wednesday before, whenever it was. We were talking about door knockers and vendors and those sorts of things. And I mentioned to you the door knocker, and I actually showed you an example of the door knocker report that Ray Jourdain and his wife Gladys had sent me on a deal that they did in New York. And I didn't have the information of that company off the top of my head. So it is right in front of you there. It's going to be on the syllabus. But the one that he used was National Creditors Connection, and the person he contacted there was Lance Perry, as you can see. And I've got phone number there, email address for you, as well as their website. So if you're looking for door knocker vendors and you've seen the report, I show that case study a lot of times at the 3 days, but I know I showed it on one of these webinars as well. The other one that I did give you, but just as a reminder, is We Go Look, and another student had referred recommended them to us as well. Okay, last night, if you were on the webinar, you already know this. If you were not on last night's webinar, NPS was a special guest, and NPS is Nations Property Services, and they work in a very large realm of the note and real property world, anything from property renovation, security, to renting, to property management, so a very, very wide spectrum as to what they do. They have sister companies such as NDS, Nations Default Services. So when you look on the vendor website, you're going to see contact information for Nations Default Services. However, Michelle McCoy was on the call along with Dina from NPS, Dina being the president of NPS and Michelle being vice president of client development. During their presentation, Michelle said, here is her contact information. So there's a phone number for you and there's the email address for you. Learn about more about what they do by going to their website, which is nationscompanies.com. I think I gave that to you on another webinar as well. Or you can go to the membership website and get their main website. But read about the company and what they do a little bit. And one of the things that she brought up on that webinar was the fact that when you do business with them, you go through a whole process of disclosure. They're a big company. Their clients include banks, include large private lenders, investment companies. So they have a very strict process that you have to follow, and it does take about a week to set up that client relationship with them. Now, they were very clear on the webinar that when you contact them and get this whole thing set up, it'll take a week, but there's no obligation at that point in time to do anything with them. It's really just getting your company into their computer system. And her advice, and obviously our advice on top of that, is going to be do that sooner rather than later, because that way when you are ready to do something, you're already in their system and they can get right on it. Versus if you haven't done that yet and now you need something done, they're going to say, hang on, you have to send us your corporate documents. You have to send us this. You have to send us that. There's information that they require, and it takes about a week for them to process that information. So you're delaying that whole relationship. So the recommendation is get the paperwork, get it filled out, get it submitted, get approved to work with them, and then once you're in their system, you're good to go. Sarah, you were on that webinar as well. Did I pretty well sum that up, or is there some
Yeah. Addition? Nope, that was good. That one was actually Monday night. Last night, NAA was on.
I just listened to it today myself, and as I was saying last night, it just dawned on me, yeah, that was Monday night. I think Eddie said he was going to have them on a non-performing webinar as well.
Yeah, he is. I don't know exactly when they're scheduled yet for, but that is the plan, yeah. Okay. And there's actually a question that came in from Fred, asking if you could contrast NPS and NAA, compare and contrast them.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of N's companies. if you go to Nations Companies, I think is their website.com, you will see all the different affiliates of the Nations Company, which includes Nations Property Services, Nations Default Services. They all start with Nations in their name. All of those companies are sister companies that work together. Okay? Now, you can hire independently within all of those, or you could hire the entire process, if you will. Meaning, if you want a property that needs an inspection and you plan on having that property fixed up and then you plan on renting that property, well, NPS can handle all of that. But it's not all technically NPS. You're going to have NDS doing a part of that. They have they even have evaluation companies, you know, that can do BPOs. So they can do a lot of different services. Obviously, they prefer to work together. In other words, if you need a BPO to be done to look at having a property renovated, they prefer that you're working with their sister companies and affiliates. It just streamlines the whole process. But that's what NPS does. They do everything in and around the property business, the real estate business. Where they don't really get involved is the paper side of the business. They don't create seller finance notes. They don't service seller finance notes. They're more concentrated on the property services. Okay, now they do collect rent, okay, which is different. So they do manage properties, they do collect in escrow rent money, but they do not have services that are involved with the paper side of the business. Now, NAA, which comes to your question, Fred, NAA, National Asset Advisors, they are involved in the paper side. They can sell property, they can create the notes, they can service the notes, etc. So NAA, see, I almost did it there. NAA does more on the paper side, although NAA also can get involved in the renovation process. Now, what will happen from time to time, NPS might outsource services to have a property inspected and repaired to NAA. So NAA, National Asset Advisors, works with separate companies, Nations Property Services as well. So I know there's a lot to that, and I think what we will need to do, which I've really already done but haven't officially released, is just a little guidebook of going, okay, this company does this, this company does that, these companies can work together. In other words, take kind of what I just did there and put that in writing so you can follow it a little bit better. But I would say, as a rule of thumb, think of this. When it comes to servicing the property itself and anything involved with the property, NPS can do all of that. When it comes to the note part and servicing, creating paper, that's going to be NAA. Only exception to that is NAA can also do inspections and oversee renovations. Okay. Hope that made sense.
And there's a couple more questions there. I don't know if you can see the questions.
If you just came on, thank you. If you just came on to the call before, a little bit after we get started, which I know some of you do because you know I always do my little preamble on there, which I think is important. But if you came on a little bit later tonight, we went over some industry stats and some vendor relationships, and now it's open mic night. So feel free to type in your questions as we're going along, and we'll try to answer as many as we can this evening. Okay, sorry, Sarah, go ahead.
Okay, do you want me to read them?
Let's see, I'm going to try to take them in order here. Yeah, let's start. So there were no more questions regarding NAA, though, right? I don't see any.
No, correct.
Okay, let's see, I think NPS. Okay, yeah, then Sharon's kind of echoing what I said there after taking. I've got that. Correct. Where's the syllabus? The syllabus, Bill, is going to be posted on the membership website, and you go to what's the main tab there?
It's under webinars and then webinar archive.
Okay. Very good. So, yeah, you'll see on the top there, it'll say webinars, and then you scroll down, it says webinar archive, and it'll take you. Okay, let's start with the first one here, and I got to cut and paste that to be able to read it. Let's see, Troy is saying, after taking repossession of a property, the house is basically empty except for what seems to be leftover garbage and one range placed in the basement. Am I required to keep those items for a certain period of time? No, if it's garbage in the property, that sort of thing, and no, I never have. I mean, if it's personal items and things like that, there might be a 3-day window you might have to look at, something like that. But when did they leave? I mean, if you possess the property and it's been more than 3 days, generally, no. I've never had an issue with that. I don't know if there's anything specific in that area that you're looking at there, Troy. But no, if it's garbage and that sort of thing, just take pictures, take documentation, show the condition of the property. Clearly, it's garbage. So anytime you got vendors out there, have them take pictures. Just get in the habit of asking for that. It's so easy today. I mean, everybody in the world practically carries a camera with them at all times in the form of a phone, right? So take pictures, or have your vendors take the pictures, and I wouldn't worry about that. A range placed in the basement, I don't know. I think if they abandon that, and it's for some reason 3 days seems to be in my head where they might have a clear out period, something like that, but I'm not going to worry about that too much, and it'll probably take you 3 days anyhow to get somebody out there to do it. So if the range is no good, get rid of it. If it's got some value, there's a lot of scratch and dent places that'll come and pick it up and for free at least, and maybe give you a couple bucks for it. So that wouldn't be a bad thing. And if you go that route and you sell it to somebody, get a receipt for it, and if something ever happens, you reimburse, I guess. But I don't see a problem with it. That's all I can think of. If you want to check, you can call the local county there. Call the clerk of court, also known as the county clerk in that particular county, and they probably won't have the answer, but I'm directing you to them because they can tell you who you should contact. Okay, so you could call up the clerk of court, also known as the county clerk, and say, there's a property I've taken possession of. The people have vacated the premises. They left a couple of items. Who would I talk to see if I have to wait for a certain period of time before that can be done? If that local area does foreclosures by way of the sheriff's department, then you can also contact the sheriff's office and ask them that same question. Okay. All right.
And then someone just commented that there isn't a hyperlink in the web post. I just fixed that, so there is now. In order to download the syllabus.
Oh, on the original. Okay, I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
So she replaced that. Yeah. When we put this together again, we're hoping people submit what they want to talk about early, and then we can prepare. And then sometimes I always have last minute stuff. I'll take the heat for that because I always think of something like, oh, you know what? I promised them this and that. So my fault. I didn't get that to her soon enough.
Thanks for letting us know, Kent. It is there now. You should be able to get it. Thanks.
Fantastic. All right. Let's see what else I got here. And I don't know, Sarah, if you can cut and paste those and these questions and put them on the syllabus as well.
Then I'll upload a revised copy after the call.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, sounds good. All right, next one I have there that I see says, we have purchased notes previously from FCI and PPR, so those are third-party vendors, but have been somewhat frustrated by lack of availability. Are there other sources you can suggest? Okay, so Dennis is looking for more inventory. So obviously, just by your question, I'm assuming that's above and beyond Colonial Assets, FCI, PPR. There's other sources. Yeah, there are other companies, and it's kind of a difficult question to answer in some capacity. And the reason I say that is I can give you some other sources, but I've also could give you some areas where they are lacking. One that's commonly been used in the past, for example, is Condor. That's K-O-N-D-A-U-R. And Condor has a lot of assets. I think Condor does expect you to know what to ask for, though. So when you talk with Condor, go in there showing that you're knowledgeable about the business. Do you want a tape? Do you want certain assets? And they can kind of tweak that for you. And make sure you always ask for all the paperwork so that you can see all of the paperwork. Okay, so I'm not going to be on this call and badmouth anyone. I'm just kind of giving you some points here to take some extra steps. It's the same thing I would tell you about FCI. Now, in your question, you have FCI. That's actually FCI Exchange. Okay, those are two different entities. Okay, owned by the same, but you got FCI, which is a servicing company. They don't sell notes. Okay, they do provide a trading platform known as FCI Exchange. You can list the notes that you own there. You can buy notes there. The reality is you're buying and selling from two separate, I'll just say individuals. They're going to be companies, but they're, you know, one person, two person companies. So you're buying from another individual, if you will, and therefore you're only going to get the information that they have or choose to provide. So expect to do a lot more due diligence when you're looking at assets, when you're buying from somebody that you don't have a relationship with. Just a little footnote on that one. I'm not sure what you're saying as far as lack of availability, though, because even just FCI Exchange, I know they've got thousands of notes on there, so I think maybe what your real question is you're looking for something very specific. And I think that's really more of the framework of your question, is you're not finding assets that have fit whatever it is that you're looking for. That's something I think you need to take a close look at. That would be a very interesting topic on a call such as this. It really would. And if you want to bring this up next week, we can go into this in greater detail, because I guarantee you that there's other folks on this call that you would hear from, not just me, that came into this with a very narrow perception of what is acceptable to them. And they kind of went through the same thing that I think, and again, I'm reading into your question here, but I think that you may be going through, which is, there's nothing here. There's plenty of stuff here. It's just what you're really saying is, there's nothing here that meets my narrow category of what I'm looking for. Now, you can choose to keep to go down that path, or you start to realize that, you know what, the industry's not going to adapt to me. I have to adapt to the industry. So you might have to stretch out those parameters that might currently be limiting you as to what makes sense for you. That is a good conversation. That's an interesting conversation. That could be a Tuesday or a Wednesday topic, because I know Eddie would love to get into that as well. And I would tell you that if we were in a discussion about this, there's going to be other people that would chime in and let you know, hey, when I first started, I would only look at houses that had under a certain crime rate, or I would only look in houses that, you know, were in this price range, or I would only do this. And what they found was that they had to stretch out those margins, and then all of a sudden, wow, there's a lot more opportunities here than I've ever seen before. So again, I'm reading into what your question is, but there's so much inventory out there. I mean, you can get on a Google search and find some other sources if you want. Just be very cautious when you do that, because you don't know who you're buying from, and you don't know if they have all the paperwork. So those are two boxes you have to check. Do they have all the paperwork? Are they showing me all the information? And do further due diligence. I mean, you simply have to do that. So I'm not going to give you a list of a whole bunch of other companies, because I know there's flaws within each of those companies, and I don't want to turn this into a session where, and these are vendors we have no, or note sellers we have no relationship with, but I don't want to turn that into a session on their assets, because I don't look at their assets anymore. So they may have some other things out there. But what I think is more important is, what are the expectations of what you're looking for, and does that have to be modified or not? And if you can put something together on that and kind of talk about what it is that you're looking for, I think that would be a great, great topic. That would probably take well over a half hour or more to really delve into, and I think it's an important one. So that's my advice on that one. And there's going to be some, yeah, I don't know. If y'all aren't coming to the Note Expo, or you're on the fence on it, come to the Note Expo. There's a lot of new things that are going to be announced there, and you'll get to meet some of these other new vendors. We've got a new source of notes that is coming on board as well. So again, I don't think inventory is the question, especially if you think in terms of, how many deals am I going to do this year? Could it be where there's something that you know, a month comes out that there's just nothing on there that's for you? But look, that can happen. I mean, we run into that in the regular real estate business. I mean, buying real estate all the time, you look at a bunch of properties and you don't find anything you're looking for. Doesn't mean that, well, gee, there's no inventory. Yeah, there's inventory. It's just not exactly what you're looking for. So I think we need to tweak that a little bit. Okay. Let's see what else we got here. PSA agreement. Yeah, Troy, I saw your question come through before, and on the property. If you remember, I believe we talked about this last week, everybody, and that was he was looking at Prosit on the last release that we did, and there was a property change address. In fact, it was at the tail end of the call last week that we talked about this, and the address of the property was at one address, and then, I don't know, several years ago, it changed addresses, and there were some documents that had to be corrected there. The question that you're asking me, Troy, is one that really needs to be handled through Charles's team. Because, and I know that Charles has contacted you on this, or at least Angie, somebody else in that department, and they are working on that. So I'm going to let them go ahead and answer that more specifically for you on what should be done. Okay. All right. Turnkey Flipping Academy. Okay. Fred's asking about the Turnkey Flipping Academy. And on the Turnkey Flipping Academy, first of all, that is now what we are formally calling and formally training under for our 50-50 model. The 50-50 model was the original concept. The original name came from putting 50% down and then carrying a note for the other 50% of the balance, obviously. But that, as you've seen in case studies, especially if you've been to a three-day training recently, it doesn't always have to be 50% down. It could be 20, 30, whatever. So what we have done is changed that into the Turnkey Flipping model, or formally the training is under the Turnkey Flipping Academy. Once again, all of the educational components of that will not cost you any money. So if you're getting some emails or you're doing a Google search and you see something about that and you click on that and it's talking about buying that program, for I think it's over $1,000, you get that for free. Okay, that's already included, and that's what Eddie announced at the Summer Summit this year. We finished all six videos, so they are done. There's six training videos that come with it. There's an additional six Q&A calls that come with it, and then there's additional trainings from the vendors themselves that show you how to operate the website that you go into, how to enter information, how to receive documents. So there's a lot of training behind this particular technique and strategy. We have had conversations about that, Fred, and it is since now everything is done, or at least the six main training videos are done. Let me put it that way. There's a couple vendor videos that we're still are waiting on. But we are going to have a new place on the regular membership website where all of those files will be available for you to download to be able to play, I believe, online. Okay, so that is in the works. So now it is up to our technical folks to build that and to place those over on there. So all I can tell you is, Fred, that those are in work to be done. We had to wait. We chose to wait till we had the six main training video sessions complete before we released it, in case we had to make some modifications and that sort of thing. So those are now complete. It is in process to be put on the membership website. How long does that take? That's what I don't have an answer for you. And I know that's what your other question would have been. When's it going to be ready? That I don't have an answer for you. Now it's up to the tech people to do that. But I don't see that as a major, major addition, if you will. But again, that's up to the tech folks. All right. Let's see.
Kevin, Fred had just typed in a comment about the webinar archives, and I just wanted to make a note, too. If you've looked at any of the archives over the last month, you'll notice a new thing that we're doing. We're trying to make all of the content that's on these archives a lot more usable, because there's so much great content in there, and it's just kind of hard to find right now. So if you look at any of the webinars over the last month, you'll see in the notes, it'll tell you exactly, like, okay, at 13:36 into the call, we talked about this topic.
Sarah, why don't you go ahead and pull up the website and show us that as you're
going. That's a great idea, Kevin. Let me just find one here. It just makes everything a lot more, I have one open right in front of me here, a lot more usable. Here's one right here. Because
we're still seeing the syllabus, by the way.
Yeah, I'm still getting it pulled up here. There's such a wealth of information there. It's just, here we go. Okay, so this is from Thursday the 18th. You can see there, it'll show, you know, at 1:53 into the call, we talked about Deborah's case study. And what I'm trying to do, too, is if there's a topic within a certain case study, I will index that as well. Like 11:26 into the call, within Deborah's case study, Jill reviewed use of a 1031 exchange. Mm-hmm. So we're really trying to detail these a lot more thoroughly so that you can benefit from all of the information that we have out there on the website.
And now, if I understand correctly on that same issue, those are being tagged. In other words, if they go up to the search engine and type in a key topic they're looking for, then it'll pull these training sessions.
Right over here on the right-hand side where it says tags, these are all the keywords that are tagged for this post. Mm-hmm. So the 1031 exchange, 50-50 deal. And I know we now call it the Turnkey Flipping Academy, but I have that tagged so that in case somebody types in the wrong thing, you know.
Right. So what that means, everybody, in case you're not familiar, when they tag it, they now associate that word with that video training file. So when you're up at the regular search engine up on the top and you type in 1031 exchange, the system's going to look for everything that's in our membership website that's been tagged with 1031 exchange, and it will pull that up as a part of that search, which is, I think, very, very valuable to have.
Yeah. So yeah, I just wanted to point that out while we had a little lull. I do see that there's a couple more questions coming in.
Yeah. Let's see. So my previous thought was correct, and they're confirming that I was talking about inventory and lack thereof and other sources and that sort of thing, and it is they say that they're looking at some limited things, and I think your response there is a good one as well. And again, if you're limiting yourself because of the types of properties, the square footage, or in some cases the condition of the property, some cases the neighborhood, funds availability, any of those kind of issues, there are solutions too, and I think that's really the key topic on that. And so, what can we do if we're facing these issues? What's another out for this? And I think that would be a great topic. Again, for example, if it's availability of funds. All right. Well, we need other capital, and there are a couple of companies, and I'm just starting to look into that will do loans for people who are buying non-performing notes. Okay, so if you've ever borrowed what's referred to as hard money loans or private loans from investors for real property, this would be the same thing, but it would be to buy the note. And so for some of you, that may be an answer. For that, Eddie's been working on a source of that for a while. I've got a couple other sources that I've been looking at and looking into. But again, we don't want to release that until we vet it for you. In other words, we don't want to put source out there and recommend it to you, and then you go there and have a bad experience. What we like to do is vet them. Use them ourselves, go through the process ourselves, and make sure that we're fundamentally okay with it and would utilize the services ourselves. So there is a little process on that, but I think you're being well served as members of Note School when we do it that way, So I promise you, it is something that we're looking at for capital concerns. Again, you can always partner with people, maybe work with another investor. So there's other solutions to that. If you're looking at a certain type of neighborhood that you don't like and for reasons why, well, again, let's talk through that. Let's figure out what those neighborhoods really mean. And that's why we brought in vendors like RentFacts that can give us other higher definition looks at these neighborhoods and these properties. So I think that's a good topic, and would love to talk about it. But again, I think it's a broader topic than for the time that we have left. So thanks for echoing back to me on that. I figured that's what your question was really about. I guess that's just the experience I've seen before.
Hey, Kevin, real quick, somebody pointed out to me that I didn't realize I was showing the website from the back end. Let me just show where people can see the website tags as they see it as students.
Okay.
So you go to the log into your member site here. You're going to go to webinars, then down to webinar archives. Click on that. And that will take you to all the recent archives, and I'll just scroll down and show you the same one that we're showing. You can see a summary here, but it's all kind of goggled. So click on the header. That will open up the post itself, and then you can either watch it here or listen to it. The listen to it link is right down here, but you can see the summary right here that I was talking about.
Great.
So, thanks.
Very good. And I go back to, I know sometimes, especially the Monday night call, it's a little late for this guy. And so the Monday nights, I'll go back and listen to, and I'll obviously see the topics that are on there, and I go back and listen to some of the things too, especially new vendors and that sort of thing are on there. So I really like, that was our original intent, was to put the notes and summaries there and all the tags, and we kind of just, as Sarah would attest, it takes a lot of effort. That summary looks easy. It looks like, oh yeah, you just log the timeline, but it takes a lot of effort and time to do that. And we just ran out of bandwidth early on when we moved from the call. We used to have actual just phone calls versus a webinar. When we moved to the webinar format, that was fully our intention, and we tried for a long time, and then we just ran out of the ability to do it time-wise. So now with Sarah and Ellen helping us, we've gotten back to that, which I think is great, because it is a lot easier to navigate through everything.
Lots easier.
Fantastic. Bob Esser has his hand raised with a question.
Okay, Bob, you're unmuted.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Good, Bob, how are you?
All righty. Hey, I just wanted to say, and I'd be very interested in any funding you have. We're looking at a package of, it's about $1 million, $1.2 million of performing land contracts. Mm-hmm. I know you said non-performing, but this should be even easier. So,
hey, do I owe you, before you get into your question here, do I owe you information? I'm feeling like I did, or I did I already send it? Was there something I was going to get to you?
Oh, you know, I may dimly remember that, but I can't remember what it was.
Okay.
It is. I'll circle back to you.
Okay.
But
okay.
I've been so swamped with this trying to round up this package deal.
Gotcha. Sounds good. All right, go ahead.
So no, that was all I was going to say is, you know, if you need a test driver for your program with these vendors, just keep us in mind.
Awesome. Yeah,
we got a big package. I think it'll move the needle.
Did you guys close on those deals, or did you close on those deals? Or are you still? That's what you're working on.
We bought about 50. The same seller that we're talking about the performing notes with. We just bought 12 or 15 REOs off them. That was all his non-performing stuff, and we're sorting through that today. So our partner, it was up at one of the properties today, and the people are still in it. And so we bought that one free and clear, no contract, title insurance in place, and you know, there's people in the house saying we got a land contract, and we got we're not leaving. So we're in it pretty cheap, so I think we can work it out in a way that's going to work for everyone. But, we're just sorting out that package. It's a big chunk to chew off right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good. All right, man. Good talking to you.
All right, thank you.
Sure. Let's see. Yeah, Bob or Dan has a question here. Are the hang on a second, let me take here. Are the times for the webinars changing? I got an email update for the webinars. Sarah, go ahead and I'm just teasing you. Go ahead.
Let me. I'm not sure, Dan. Were you talking about the Monday Thursday one or the September October offering? Because the Monday Thursday one I screwed up on. So Monday is not changing to 8 or to noon. I mistakenly made an update that Monday was changing to noon. That is not the case. That was an error on my part. We did send out registration for September October today, though, and I'm wondering if that's what he's talking about in terms of the Wednesday Thursday.
Okay, so yeah, she mistakenly put the wrong times initially, but also sent a follow up one with the right times in there. So here's as plain as possible: the times of the webinars are not changing. Okay, the times of the webinar are not changing. We have mixed times. We know that we can never find the perfect time for all of our members. It's just absolutely impossible. So we try to have some at different times during the day, in the evening, etc. So the times are not going to change on the webinars. What is going to change starting in October? Okay, so starting in October. In October, we're going to flip-flop the Wednesday-Thursday webinar. So this webinar is going to be on Thursday at the Thursday time. The Thursday webinar is now going to be Wednesday at the Wednesday time. Okay, so that's coming out October. All right, so we know that that's going to shift some schedules around, but here's the bottom line of why we did it. The way we have it set up now, you've got a performing call Monday, and then the next one is Thursday. That's a long time in between, and then you've got non-performing Tuesday and Wednesday. So we had enough people say, boy, could you shift it around, because you know we're waiting a long time in between performing calls here, and the non-performing is a day after. So it made more sense to go performing, non-performing, performing, non-performing. Okay, and that way there's a day in between each one of those. So that's why we have done that. And again, but we've decided to keep the times as they are. And you know, again, we know that there's never going to be a perfect schedule for everybody. We're doing our best to accommodate you know, as we can on all of that. But again, that's why we archive all these, and nothing wrong with going back. And if you can't make a call time, or if that those times end up not working for you, well, you know what? We have done in the past, and we'll continue to do. You can still submit something to be covered, and we will still cover it on the call as if you were on the call. So no problem with that. You can go back and listen to the archives and make all of that happen. So that's the, unless they make some last minute changes, that's what we're looking to do October 1st. So the times are not going to change, but two of the webinar content will change, as I said, and that's starting in October. Okay. So nothing this month. August is the same, September is the same, and then October we'll just make that small adjustment. But again, I think everybody will adapt to it and quite well, and I think it's a better plan. Okay, let's see.
And there was a question that the new registrations came out today and they don't reflect the new schedule. I'm pretty sure that they do. September is still the same. It's October mm-hmm. that's different.
Okay.
So maybe if you just look at September, it looks like it didn't change.
Yeah. Well, we'll take a second look at that, and maybe they have it scheduled the same through October right now, in case they make a different decision or something. But again, there'll be change. There'll be time to change all of that. So we'll let you know. They'll send out emails, and we'll have that. But August and September, it's all going to be the same. So no worries there with all of that. But we'll go back and change, Christy. Thanks. And maybe you didn't get that second email, or perhaps, but we'll figure it out.
Right, yeah, and someone else just commented that the non-performing registration reflects the new schedule date, September, Tuesday, Wednesday, October, Tuesday, Thursday. Oh, and now Christy says she sees it, so. Okay, good, yeah. You're giving me a heart attack. I'm like, I already screwed up one thing today. Please don't tell me I screwed up another. Keeping me on my toes, thanks.
All good.
There was a question up here about RentFax. Did you see that one? Why is RentFax not on
why is RentFax not on the vendor site or helpful websites? It should be. The only answer I have for you there. If you don't have the website, it's rentfaxpro.com/noteschool. And the discount code is going to be TFA30, TFA30, and that will give you your 30% discount. So they've already got the website built for that. I'm double checking to make sure I'm correct on that.
And I'll check with the powers that be to make sure that gets added to the website.
Yeah, that's RentFax Pro. I know that's what it is. I just want to reassure myself here.
That's translation for I don't know how to add it, but I'll find out.
Yeah, we have people that
people that know how.
We're waiting on the people that that do that. TFA. No, that's not the one we're looking for. But yeah, that's it. Alrighty, let's see. It does shift. Okay, great. We got that. We got that.
There are a couple announcements here as we're winding up.
Okay.
Let me just get that up here. Bob Repass sent out a notice that the September offering on Notes Direct is going to be a little altered just because of Labor Day. So the Titanium offering will come out on September 8th, approximately around 1 o'clock. And then it will be released to the rest of the students on Tuesday, September 13th, also around 1 o'clock.
All right.
And then we have the Note Expo, and do you want to add anything about that? I have never been, so I can't attest to it. But
yeah, it's of course, the appreciation event is the day before the Note Expo. And you know, you can just go to one and not the other if you want to. Obviously, both would be recommended. The appreciation event is it's great. It's a great more social event, but obviously we always have educational components with it, special guest speakers, those sorts of things. And I mean, gosh, some years we even had a senator one year, so they'll have some good presenters there, good topics. And we've got reception, as you can see, for everybody, cocktail reception and appreciation dinner we provide for everybody, and then we have the charity auction after that. So it's a lot of fun. It's a good way to get to meet you know, your fellow Note School members. It's just a big component to it. And then you add in the educational part. You'll have some special guests there that you want to meet as well. The expo is the following 2 days, and Friday and Saturday, and that's open to anybody who is in the note business, anybody who's interested in the note business. So it's open to the public at large, and it's a bigger event, and they have breakout sessions. So they'll have a main session where everybody's in the main room, and then you'll be able to go out and talk to all the different vendors that are there, and meet them face to face. And they'll have training sessions going on throughout the day in breakout rooms, and that's how that's going to work. And that's always been a strong event as well. So yes, the sooner if you plan on going, the sooner you can register for that. It's always easier for us when we know how many people versus having last minute rush to register. So we're really encourage you, if you're going, go ahead and get registered for that as soon as you possibly can. But good events.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
All right, well, I think that about wraps it up, unless you have anything else.
No, look at that, right on time as well.
Wow. Very efficient.
Excellent. All right. Excellent. Thank you, everybody. And again, the sooner you can get your content in, always the better for us. And I guess that's it. That's about it. I appreciate everybody being on the webinar, and we'll keep you posted with any new changes. And do note those release dates, and you might want to put that on your calendar so you're not emailing us saying, where's the offering this month? It's pushed back a little bit just because of the holiday and that sort of thing. So thank you, Sarah, for running the boards there for us as well.
Thank you.
You all have a great evening.
All right. See you later. Mm-hmm. Bye.